You know, I was talking to a Jewish man the other day at the Republican State Central Committee, and he said, you know, you're saying some things that are parallel to Nick Fuentes and the Groyper movement. And my response to him was, well, what does the Jewish community plan to do about Nick Fuentes and the Groyper movement? What is the plan? What is the strategy? Is your strategy just to call them all anti-Semitic and say they're ridiculous and write them off as not something to contend with? Because if you do that, you're making the same mistake that many people made about President Trump and the MAGA movement not too long ago. Just to write it off as ridiculous. Okay?
So what do you suggest?
My suggestion is to listen to the things that they're saying and be able to parse out what's true and what's not.
How do you know what's true and what's not?
Discernment.
And but research and
historical
reporting.
Fact. Yeah, there's a lot of ways there's epistemological ways to decipher truth, what is and what isn't. But
I'm a classic reporting guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, here's what I think about, again, the term, the Jewish identity. It's used in the same way the black identity is used. And you can't even say certain things like, I was outside of the Federal Reserve. This guy took exception to me saying that there were Jewish elites that ran the Fed. And there were publicly admitted Jewish elites that have recently run the Fed. Janet Yellen, Ben Bernanke, a couple of others.
So that person being offended was he shouldn't have felt offended?
Well, I think it's part of a bigger cultural crisis of identity politics being used in a bait and switch to stifle conversation about necessary issues. In this case, Israel, our foreign policy, a sort of Jewish protected class where you can't criticize anything that Jewish people do or even mention anything Jewish people do as a community. Same thing I said about the Somali community. If a Somali man robs a bank, I can say he was a Somali man. If
sure.
a black man robs a bank, you can say he was a black man.
Yeah, but I don't.
If a Jewish man robs a bank, you can say he was a Jewish man, but you can't.
Well, no, but
you can say a black man or a Somali man, but you can't say he was Jewish.
But I think there's a difference between saying a Somali person stole and then paint the whole broad brush and say Somali people are garbage. I mean,
that's not what I'm saying.
There's a difference, though.
What I'm saying is that you can't say that a few Jewish elites ran the Fed, because to say there are Jewish elites is supposedly a dog whistle to an anti-Semitic trope. And that's just a non-starter. There are Jewish elites in this country. There are Jewish elites in the world. There is a Jewish lobby. There are Jewish people who are not loyal to this country. Hell, there are Jewish people who aren't really even loyal to Israel, depending on how you look at their political actions and participation. There are Jewish people who are loyal to nothing but themselves, same as any other race of people on the face of the planet. But for some reason, if you say it about Jewish people, then you're automatically anti-Semitic. And that's what they're throwing on Marjorie Taylor Greene, or they have thrown on Marjorie Taylor Greene. They've thrown it on President Trump at times. Recently, they've thrown it on Steve Bannon and others of the War Room Posse. They've thrown it on me as much as they possibly could. And it's created a rift in the Republican Party and in the conservative movement, because such a big piece of the Republican Party or the conservative base are evangelical Christians who carry the same sort of belief about the Israel conversation. And I think that it's just completely dishonest. There are black elites. If I say Barack Obama is a black elite, he is. And it's funny, we talk in the black community, we talk about black excellence the same way I said about a few other communities, but we hold up our identity when we talk about our success. But if we talk about the failures of an identity or a demographic or a race of people, all of a sudden it's racism or anti-Semitism. The Jewish people in this country have failed to stand up in the conversation about the history of the Jewish people, Israel, and the current political, let's say, correctness in a way that's honest. And because of that, they are responsible for the rise of the Nick Fuentes and Groyper movement. The Nick Fuentes of the world wouldn't be able to point out the contradictions that he can had it not been a bunch of Jewish people in this country refuse to stand up and say, don't use my identity that way. Don't play fast and loose with my Jewish identity to perpetuate forever wars in the Middle East or to stifle a conversation about the influence of political lobbies, like, let's say, AIPAC in American politics. And every time a Jewish person fails to do that, they are adding ammunition. They are lending ammunition to Nick Fuentes and the Groyper movement. And it doesn't seem that they plan to stop. From my interaction with this gentleman and the way that the media has
which gentleman
this Jewish gentleman at this Republican convention,
right.
Yeah. And the way that the media has covered my comments in general and has continued to cover comments about Israel in general. It doesn't appear that that's slowing down, and it's becoming a dividing line for the midterms, right? Because you see now an alliance growing where Marjorie Taylor Greene and Anna Kasparian, one of the more socialist, populist, or far left activists in the political commentary world, are finding agreement on Israel. Now, do I see their agreement as 100% genuine? No. And I do think that there is a movement on the left in American politics that seeks to undermine the legitimacy of Israel as a nation so they can make the same claim about America as a nation. And there is a group of people on the left that say Israel is not legitimate as a nation because any nation that stands upon stolen land is illegitimate. And that without America's help, Israel wouldn't have been able to secure their current land. They make the same claim about America, that America sits upon stolen land, so therefore it's not a legitimate nation. It's not lost on me that a person like George Soros, who has a political organization that promotes open borders or a borderless society, would fund candidates or political propaganda that suggests that no nation that's ever been conquered is a legitimate nation. Because all nations have been conquered. If you make the claim that no nation that's ever been conquered or rest upon stolen land, conquered land, usually conquered land stolen from you. If you make that claim, there is no legitimate nation on this planet. What nation hasn't been conquered that's of any value, any resource, any strategic geopolitical location?
Power has always existed.
There you go. Okay, so if we're going to say that power categorically delegitimizes all nations, it becomes pretty clear what the agenda is.
So where does Israel sit in your position as the candidate for U.S. Senate in Minnesota?
I think it's unbelievable how gum-dipped the Republican Party is about Israel.
What's gum-dipped?
Like, how they're brainwashed.
Doing this a long time. Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
By the way, hey. I'm not a woman.
Hey, okay, cool. I don't care. Why do I care?
You guys just called me a woman, so I have
did?
To reassure you
I don't
that
know.
You're talking to another man.
I didn't hear that. I didn't mean to do that. I'm not here to argue about gender. I'm here to argue about sin.
Sin? But you've switched up about six times since I've been over here.
No, you started talking about gender. I don't even care.
No. I've been over here about 20
minutes. I don't care what
minutes,
gender you are.
So you're going to let me speak.
I don't care what gender
you
are.
No, you're going to let me speak. You're
okay.
Not. You're
why do I have to
something?
Let you speak? What? You know, hey, don't. Come on. Hey, you just committed a crime.
So, no, I did not.
Yes, you did. You just committed a crime. So
you're going to let me speak?
No, I'm not.
I'll just keep unplugging.
No, I'm not.
Oh, are you scared of a woman?
No. Yeah, now you're a woman.
Now
you're a woman.
I'm not a woman.
Are you a man or a woman? I'm confused.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host here for the 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. hour. Royce White in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's a great honor to be back. They can attack us all they want, but they can't keep us down. Right, Alex? It's beautiful. Such an honor to be back here on this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there all across the country, all around the world. We wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't be here at all if it wasn't for our mothers. A special thank you to the Holy Mother, Mother Mary, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just want to talk a little common sense here this Sunday. I'm so excited to be on the Alex Jones Network here this Sunday evening and going forward here. I'm glad we're back up and rolling. Thank you, Alex and the team, for having me. I really appreciate it. I just want to talk a little common sense. And the reason I showed the video there is because I think that's probably the most reasonable Israel talk there is out there, you know? And of course, PBS and the rest of the mainstream media is going to try and suppress that as best as they possibly can, which, you know, I mean, we don't even like reasonable talk anymore. I think, and this is what I wanted to say today. I think we have gotten to this point where we love the drama. We love the drama in the theater. We love, you know, we love to stay spun up in the chaos. There's a self-destructive component to American citizenship right now and American culture, the American spirit, but it's global. You know, that part is really global. There's a propensity towards self-destruction and even suicide. And I don't mean to be, you know, dark and gloomy here on a happy Mother's Day. It's a beautiful day here in the state of Minnesota, in the city of Minnesota, Minneapolis, but it is true. And it just becomes so clear. And I only say that as hopefully a source of optimism. We could actually fix this. This isn't beyond repair. I mean, not even in the least bit. This is not beyond repair. First things first, we got to stop voting in the people who caused the problem 95% of the time. 95% incumbent retention rate in the House and in the Senate. We know it's the bastion of the deep state. We got to stop doing that to start. I mean, just as an appetizer. Not even an appetizer, just you sit down here at dinner on a Sunday, Mother's Day Sunday, and they bring you the nice warm towels, you know, to refresh your hands if you go to a decent restaurant. That's first. Not voting in the incumbents 95% of the time. It's just getting my hands clean, okay, when I sit down to eat. And then as an appetizer, it's like we got to deport 15 to 20 million foreign invaders. And we just got to call them foreign invaders because that's what they are. And, you know, last in the short list, but certainly not least, we've got to come to grips with the fact, is, and this is a fact, that the American neoconservative Bush-era foreign policy Republicans are not the controlled opposition. And I know that's going to sound a little controversial. The entire left is the controlled opposition. It's right for us to have an argument about the proper use of our military and the proper priority and order of our foreign policy, which wars we should fight, which wars we shouldn't. Everybody knows where I stand on those issues. I support the president 1,000%, but I don't think that the order of things is proper right now. I just don't think it's proper. But still, let's frame this the right way. The left is the controlled opposition. The left and the entire, you know, cultural wedge issue of cutting a man's penis off. That's why I played that clip in the cold open, is a man's out there preaching the gospel on the street, on a street corner. And part of the gospel is men and women, you know, natural order, God, man, woman, child. And that's become bigoted. And we've kind of allowed that. Like we've kind of accepted that culturally. I don't even understand why we're having a debate with these people anymore. Honestly, I said it on my show yesterday morning, and I've been saying it the last couple of weeks, we should never give the government back to these people. Sure, we're going to have a fight on the right about the proper order of love, charity, and politics, but we should never, under any circumstances, give our government back to people who find it even remotely appropriate, let alone sane and liberating. For a grown adult male, healthy male with healthy reproductive organs to voluntarily cut off his penis for cosmetic purposes. What are we thinking? That's the controlled opposition. That is the controlled opposition on that side. Why on earth would we even consider it? We can't do it. We just can't do it. So we're going to have this fight on the right, and we have to have it. But here's a tell, and I wanted to say this evening. I've been thinking a lot about it. It's even the security of the elections, and we're hurling into the midterms now, and we still have yet to really secure these elections. And it's so interesting here in Minnesota. For example, I was at a Tea Party Patriots meeting the other day, and there was a U.S. Senate debate. And next Sunday, I'll bring you some good material from that debate. There's this classic moment where myself and a guy who's quote unquote leading the delegate race for the endorsement at the convention, which is only 2 weeks away, named Adam Schwarzer. You can go look him up yourself. Former Navy SEAL, former Marine. You know, they're running the same neocon sort of profile, neocon warfighter profile against me that they ran the last time, only younger. Problem with this guy is he's a pathological liar, and I caught him dead to right and alive right in the middle of the debate. And I knew nobody in the room would know what I was saying and that he would lie, but that there's just some things you got to really appreciate and be grateful for. God bless video. Video doesn't lie, or very rarely. And now with AI, it's, you know, starting to tell us lies, but this ain't AI. So I ask him in the debate, and yeah, I just go off in the debate. I try and pull the Tea Party Patriots of Minnesota, pull them out of their gum dipped mind state. And I just said, he has asked me a question about other countries, foreign countries, and if we're going to deport these foreign invaders, and if we're going to have a change of foreign policy around immigration, because I think we should have a 20-year moratorium on all immigration as an appetizer. And they said, well, are there any things that we could do to help these other countries not be so corrupt, crooked? And I said, you know, isn't it interesting that every time our CIA meddles in these elections anywhere in the world, there's always a communist despot that pops up and wins an election? I mean, is it a shock to anybody else? Because it certainly is to me. Why is it that every time our CIA or security state meddles in these elections anywhere else in the world, whether it be South America, Africa, whatever it is, they always end up with a communist leader? Could it be that the Central Intelligence Agency is a proto-communist organization ideologically? Could that be? And if that's the case, I just say we should get rid of the CIA. And I said that in the room. And of course, they asked this guy, Adam, who's, you know, he's a Navy, you know, he's a SEAL. And they say, well, what do you think? What do you have to say about that, Adam? And he goes, oh, well, you know, the wins you don't see and the losses are publicized. You know, classic sort of shilling for the security state's corruption type of line. And I stop him and I go, Adam, didn't you work for the CIA? Didn't you work for the State Department? He said, no. I mean, just as clear as it gets, no, I didn't. I stop, I look, I go, Adam, you didn't work for the CIA and the State Department? You didn't have some dual clearance, a part of some Navy program where you did some work, some contract work for the State Department and the CIA? You never worked for the CIA? And he repeated, he said, no, I didn't. And it's just unbelievable. I go and find this interview because I'm pretty good. I got a strange memory. It's photographic. And I go to this video of him explaining why he had his trident taken from the Navy. And lo and behold, he says right there, I mean, just straight up and down, I spent 2 years working at the CIA. And I only tell you this entire story because I need people to understand. Later on in the debate, the 2020 election would come up. And there's this crazy moment where I said to everybody there, I don't think President Trump should even give the government back. And they said, you know, the moderator, who I end up having a conversation with later, I actually think he's, you know, his head is on straight about a lot of things, but we'd certainly disagree about the 2020 election and the security of elections overall and the dire state of our union. But, you know, he asked me, he goes, well, what do you mean by that? Don't give the government back. What are you saying? Don't have an election? And I said, did we have an election in 2020? And he said, yeah, we did. And I stood up in the room. I said, there it is. And it's so indicative of the entire fight on the right, first of all, but the broader fight for this country's politics and future. But the fight on the right, all of these people who are, adamantly in support of this war or the Bush era foreign policy, do not believe that the 2020 election was stolen. Or let's say a good chunk of them. I bring this to you as a firsthand account and experience from being in that room with the Minnesota Tea Party Patriots. Okay, this is the Tea Party,
right? And they did a straw poll at the end, and you know, the count ended up being, you know, 39-59 with me and Schwarzy. He ended up winning the straw poll at the end of the night, which didn't surprise me, because the woman who is, you know, the chair or running the Tea Party Patriots working on his campaign, so obviously the thing is cooked up and baked, bringing his people to the event, was an official Minnesota GOP or Republican Party, you know, event anyway. So, but there were a lot of delegates, and you know, Michelle Tafoya got like 11 votes. This guy, young man named Mark York, who went to Harvard, you know, he's a smart young man. I kind of like him, to be honest, but he's a smart young Catholic kid. But I don't know. When you go to Harvard, I just kind of have questions about you from the outset. That's just me. Anyway, you know, he got about 10 votes. So it's all in play. My point is, there is a common denominator here. There's a theme. And I guess you got to be in the thing like I am. You got to be in, connected to the thing. You got to be in the process. You got to be playing in the process to really see the theme. But the theme is, we're not settled about the security of our elections. We're not even settled about that. I mean, go figure. We're hurling towards the most important midterm election in the history of human civilization, and we're not even organized about the security part of the elections. And if you dig deep enough, and here's what they do. And this is a tell. And you should go online and pick your favorite, pro-Iran war, Bush era conservative, and just ask them a few litmus questions. And if you get the distinct privilege to get a response, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Here's one of the classic bait and switch moves. They say, and some of them will say the elections aren't secure in public on paper. But, you know, if you dig a little deeper, you'll find the real deal. They tell us that the elections aren't secure. They're still not secure to this day, and they haven't been secure for a long time. They may even say the 2020 election wasn't secure or stolen. And then but then they create election strategy based on previously stolen elections. And I'm a great example of this, and I hate to, you know, use my own race and my own candidacy as an example. And I even feel a little shame coming here on Sunday nights and talking about my own campaign at all, because I have sacred honor, and my opponents aren't here to talk for themselves or defend themselves. Although I would love to have them on if they're game. I'll talk to anybody on Sunday. I don't see too many debates. I don't know why. I just don't run into many folks who are willing to do it. And I take that as a compliment in some respects, but, if you ask people about these Bush era neocons about the 2020 election, they will shill for strategy based on previously stolen or unsecure elections. And they do it to me in Minnesota. The Republican establishment continues to go back to, you lost in 2024. You lost in 2024. You lost in 2024. Now, why would we pick you as a candidate again? You lost in 2024. You only got 40% against Amy Klobuchar, which was an improvement percentage-wise. But why do we even regard the results of the 2024 election as legitimate, especially in Minnesota? I mean, these are the kind of things that undermine the message when we're trying to reach people across the aisle, or maybe who aren't a part of the political process at all. Maybe they're not even involved. And I get that often. I run into people all the time who may know me from an Alex Jones show or Steve Bannon, the War Room, my own podcast. Maybe they know me from sports, whatever the case may be. I run into people all the time who say, man, you were one of the first people I've ever voted for. So there are people out there who have political opinions, who are passionate about certain issues, who don't even vote yet. And we're trying to reach them too. We're trying to reach everybody we possibly can, but we're trying to reach them too. And it undermines the message if we're supposed to unify, you know, in this Republican coalition, and we're not even sorted out about the fundamentals. Are our elections secure or not? Have our elections been secure or not? And does that include the 2024 election? If it does include the 2024 election, why do all these Bush-era Republicans and conservatives use the result of the 2024 election to try and delegitimize my candidacy now. Oh, I'm sorry. Negroes aren't supposed to be that logical. Negroes aren't supposed to think that critical. I mean, I forgot they didn't have language in sub-Saharan Africa before the Europeans showed up. So I probably should. Or maybe it's my Norwegian heritage. Oh, no, hey, maybe my Mexican grandmother is responsible for that logical sequence of thought there. Either way, I know this. Regardless of race, religion, or creed, I know one thing for sure and two things for certain, as they used to say in the neighborhood. Amy Klobuchar is a corrupt, lying, communist scumbag, and she's got more AIPAC money than she knows what to do with. And now she's running for governor, as if her U.S. Senate career wasn't despicable and shameful enough. Now she's running for the governor of our state, and all these leftists are going to pretend that it's even remotely logical, even remotely consistent. Philosophically, politically, socially, to decry what happened in Palestine, scream free Palestine, and then vote for one of the most well-funded AIPAC politicians in the history of America. And we're thinking about giving these people the government back? They're not playing by the rules. They're not even, and you know, of course they can't follow that logic train. You know, if a young girl, she's 13 years old, she cuts herself. Back in the 90s, there was, you know, a unicorn in every school. There was a young girl that, you know, cut herself. And we all regarded that as mental illness, rightfully so. We had to watch her and get her some help. And some of those young girls survived. Actually, a decent amount of those young girls who were afflicted with that survived. Some of them didn't, and that's tragic. But we all regarded it as mental illness. We'll be right back in a brief moment. Guest host Royce White, happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. Happy Mother's Day. It's a beautiful Sunday here in the mini Apple, okay, in the beautiful state of Minnesota, Minneapolis, beautiful spring day. And my thoughts about this stuff are just clear as ever. I know it's controversial. Royce, what do you mean never give the government back? What are you saying? Is this insurrection? No, it's not. I mean, no, it's not. You don't give your nation to people who have tried to normalize a man cutting his penis off for cosmetic purposes as anything other than insane. You just don't give your government to people like that. And I don't even know how like I was saying earlier, I think it's kind of sadomasochistic that we've even tolerated it this long. We've put up with this. We've had this debate back and forth. And look, I like Matt Walsh, and people have done a great job to try and point out the absurdity of a lot of this transmania, right? My only point is, what are we even arguing about? Honestly, what are we even saying? What is this all? What is this debate? There's no debate. There is no debate about it. Like I was saying before the break, it used to be when I was growing up in the 90s, if a young teenage girl, you know, cut herself, it was regarded as mental illness, and rightfully so. And you had to keep a close eye on those ones because, you know, some of them made it, some of them survived, some of them didn't. And again, that's really tragic. I'm not poking fun at people who have severe mental illness and deal with that type of, you know, that type of stuff. But we all regarded it as mental illness. If a young teenage girl cutting herself is mental illness, how is a grown adult male cutting off his own penis not mental illness? And see, I say it, and we kind of get this, we've gotten to this place culturally where we're like, and I used to be in this camp where like, oh, I don't need to talk about the transgender stuff anymore. We've already went over that. And the more and more I'm thinking about it, the more I see the convolution of political issues across this panoply of problems, foreign policy and monetary policy and trade policy and, you know, the WEF and AI and all this other stuff. You know, it's very, not as complex as we make it, but it's got a little complexity to it. right, we are in an AI arms race. It's like, do we pursue artificial intelligence supremacy, or do we go and attack the Chinese right now and make sure they never have the infrastructure to beat us to the punch? I don't know. That's a decision above my pay grade. I'm just thinking out loud here. But what I can say is, if we go down to the most basic level, it's like, what should a society be based on? Number one, reality. Number two, the best formulation of truth you can possibly have. Number three, freedom. Reality, truth, freedom. These are the three pillars that a society should be based on. And our U.S. Senator, Amy Klobuchar, and you know, favorite to become governor in 2026, really does support the idea that a man, a grown man, cutting off his own penis for cosmetic purposes is anything other than crazy. She really believes that's a form of health care and liberation. And we're going to debate these people? Even if it's the case that some majority of the American people, some 50 plus one majority of the American people believe the same thing, that's just a sign that we've been psyoped. I asked this question the other day on my podcast. Let's say 80%, because, you know, I'm a populist. I'm a nationalist populist, Christo-nationalist populist, Catholic Christo-nationalist populist. Let's get granular about it. You see my St. Michael pendant here on my necklace that was given to me by a dear loved one. But there are problems with populism too. And one of the issues with populism, at least theoretically, is we even seem to regard the will of the people, vox populi, vox dei, the will of the people as always being righteous. And that is not the truth, which does put us in quite a quandary. It's like, we know that the populist movement is the beating heart of moving in the right direction in this country, at least when it comes to politics. But what if it's the case that we've been outflanked by the security state and the CIA and all these other psyops and brainwashing propagandas that have been waged against us in the information war, aptly named by the great Alex Jones himself? What if it is the case that it's worked? And over 60% of the American people believe that we should be the only nation in the world with no borders, and they also support the idea that a grown adult male could cut his penis off and it not be crazy. What if that's the case? Is it still not incumbent upon patriots and the president of the United States to fight to keep the republic in reality, truth, and freedom? I don't know. It's a question that we're going to have to answer, but we are damn sure going to have to answer it now. There's no dancing around it anymore. You know, we're to the tough questions and tough answers part now, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm just a realist. When I look at the internet, when I go out in public, when I even end up at some of these Republican Party events and these gum-dipped Republicans, and they are, they're just super gum-dipped about everything. Oh, are you electable? Can you win? How are you going to win? Shut your fucking mouth. How am I going to win? I'm going to win when President Trump federalizes these damn elections, or hell, federalizes the state. Then he can just appoint me as U.S. Senator and Mike Lindell as governor. Do that. What, are we afraid? Are we afraid of what the communists are going to think? Mark Levin? You know, you talk about transgenders and jihadism and Marxism as a sort of academic philosophy. I live here in the belly of the beast, Mark. I'm surrounded by transgender jihad communists. And oh, by the way, it seems to be your proto-Iran Bush-era foreign policy Republicans that are in lockstep with them, not only on gun legislation, not only on security of elections, you know, but also just the idea of electability. It's like, how do we square the circle that any concession to the center, any concession to the left, is anything other than radically insane? Absolutely insane. A grown man, a healthy adult male with healthy reproductive organs, is going to mutilate and maim himself, castrate himself, literally castrate himself because he's feeling a little feminine? No, dude, you're just gay. And sorry to tell you, being gay is not a thing that you're born. It's a curiosity of sin. And guess what? You can overcome it. You can overcome it. You can pray. You can repent. You can be forgiven for homosexual acts. You can overcome it. But under no circumstances can you ever overcome cutting off your own penis. That is crazy. What in the world are we even talking? I'm like, again, I said it the other day on my morning show, I'm like Mugatu in Zoolander. I think I've said it on this show before, too. It's like I'm taking crazy pills. Blue Steel, La Tigra, it's all the same look. Doesn't anybody else recognize that? It's all the same look. When you get through all of the esoteric jargon about foreign policy, you know, American patriots and Christians and citizens, God bless us, we have to just get back to the basics, the fundamentals. We can't give our country to people. We can't give our schools. We can't give our government. We can't give our military. We can't give our food supply. We can't give our electrical power grid. We can't give this new dystopian and digital prison to people who believe cutting your own penis off for cosmetic purposes is anything other than crazy. We cannot do it. There is no sensible justification to do such a thing, Mr. President. And see, and I said this to somebody the other day. I said, hey, if you people are dumb enough, if you're dumb enough to run a war fighter during one of the most unpopular wars in the history of our country, all you're saying is you like losing, you're sadomasochistic, and you want to become the slave, prisoner, or maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe the sexual experiment of a bunch of transgender jihadists. And I do think there is a sort of homoerotic undertone in this conservative movement. I will say it. Let me be the first one to say the quiet part out loud. I look at Fox News and I just go right down the list. And I use this as a metaphor. There's not really a list here. I don't even know what is. Oh, this is some of the 2021 National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism. I still have that on my desk here because it might be one of the single most important documents in the history of our nation. National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism. Christians, election deniers, and the unvaccinated. I check all three. I'm a terrorist. This isn't a real list, but it just you know, figuratively speaking, if I go down the list of men on Fox News, I can't tell you how many strike me as, you know, flaming homosexuals. You guys tell me in the audience. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I've been called crazy before. It's certainly possible. I'm not saying that it's not possible. It's possible that I'm crazy, but I just think, you know, that Greg Gutfeld's a little swishy. You know, what's the black guy's name? Jones, Lawrence Jones, I think his name is. He's super effeminate. Sean Hannity, he's like, you know, gay, I think. Who, Brett Baier? I mean, he's got more Botox going than your average, you know, suburban housewife. Just go on down the list. Jesse Waters, all right, yeah, you know, but yeah, it, yeah, I don't know, right? And we don't know. And the scary part is the grittiest guy, maybe the grittiest guy on Fox News is Mark Levin, which is not a compliment; it's an indictment. That the sort of most rugged guy on the network is, you know, is a radical Zionist, I don't even know, traitor. put it mildly, he's a radical Zionist traitor. But I mean, he's kind of like the toughest guy that they got. And all of the women are super masculine. Laura Ingraham, Baratamo, how you say her name? Baratamo, or I don't even know because I don't watch Fox News, but I know the characters. I know the cast. Even what's her name? Even the black. They're all masculine, is the point. They're all super masculine. And it's just like we have the same gender bender issue on the conservative right as we do on the left. The only difference is they don't have a thin veil of they don't have a thin veil of tradition covering it up. And you all know what I'm saying is true. Fox News, a bunch of squishy, light in the loafers, effeminate dudes that aren't real dudes. They're not dudes. They're not hitters. They're not emblematic of American machismo or masculinity. They're not alphas. They're not alphas. They're capitulators. They're collaborators. They're soft. They talk about electability. I just want to be the first one to say on the record as the first United States Senate nominee born in the 1990s, first of my generation, I just want to be the first to say I would surely like to see a stop messing around. I believe in elections. I think we should have them. I think they should be secure. I don't think they're secure. I don't even think they're close to being secure, in fact. I do think the 2020 election was stolen. I do think it's a good litmus question for people. Because if you're not even willing to acknowledge that the elections aren't secure and that something odd happened, I remember watching it. Hey, after I organized this peaceful demonstration of George Floyd, I was kind of apolitical. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Bring these black folks to the Fed. Stop saying Black Trans Lives Matter. Don't use George Floyd's death to push other politics. Let's talk about how the money works. And then I watched January 6th and I'm thinking to myself, well, these people look like they're serious. And I like that. I like that they're serious. Do I agree with everything that went on that day? Were they suckered into something they shouldn't? Okay, we can circle the wagons on all the details. The point is, they showed up to the doorstep of power and said, we demand that our elections are real elections. And they're right to do that. And the American people as a whole are right to do it. It's actually kind of an indictment on the rest of us that we're not pissed off our elections aren't secure. And on both sides of the aisle. Because when President Trump won in 2024, there are a ton of Democrats that made the same claim. Ah, well, he stole the election. Oh, Elon helped him. You know, okay, well, basically you're saying you think the elections are corruptible. So why aren't you outraged? Why aren't we demanding that the United States Senate on both sides of the aisle take the necessary measures to secure the elections once and for all? I kind of looked at 2020, the election ended up being a litmus test in my own head. The logic train is like, okay, wait a minute. President Trump had a 99% probability to win four swing states when the polls closed, and he lost all four of them? Just astronomically improbable. Improbable. But I mean, why do we even have to talk about the nuance and details, the sort of esoteric nature of election security and probabilities? What is the probability? What is the probability that a species as blessed, as fortunate as we are, a species as fortunate as we are, what is the probability that in our timeline, dudes would start cutting off their own penises and calling it healthcare? Let's talk about that probability. I think the probability is better that the elections are secure, actually, in the grand scheme of things. And there's zero chance that our elections are secure, but there's got to be some negative quantity. There's got to be some negative, measure to the probability of what we've done with this transgender thing. It's absolutely insane. And we want to argue. I think we're more interested in the romantic nature of intellectual highbrow debate than we are just keeping this republic. Maybe I'm crazy. Will you focus this camera for me, this wide one? It's a little blurry. Maybe I'm crazy. It's possible, this one. Maybe I'm a little crazy. It's possible. It is quite possible that I'm crazy. But you tell me in the audience, if I said something crazy other than we shouldn't give them the government back? See, it's interesting because you can disagree with President Trump's choices on a number of issues, and I certainly do. But I do recognize that we find ourselves in a time crunch. Because I honestly don't. I mean, Do you think we'll ever have a secure election again in this country if we give this government back to these people? Even worse still, they handpick the few individuals that have the greatest chance to mobilize a political movement against the powers that be. They handpick, they're very strategic in who they select to bring the lawfare down on. Like Alex Jones, Mr. President, with all due respect, like Alex Jones, or yourself, or maybe me, I'll be next. It's already breaking out here in Minnesota. You know, 50-year OFP, my ex-wife, not a single arrest or you know, even a police report of violence. Are you kidding me? No, it's because I'm a Trumpian Republican, as the Minnesota Star Tribune described me, and I wear it as a badge of honor. As much as I may disagree with the president on some things, to be called a Trumpian Republican is only saying that you actually threaten the status quo. And amen. Praise be to God. I'm blessed to be able to do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my eyesight and my hearing and my ability to touch and taste. And thank you for the senses. Thank you for a healthy heart. So far as I know, thank you for everything that you've given me. The courage to stand up and just challenge the status quo at the drop of a dime. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. But the lawfare will be against me too. And even worse than, you know, the tyranny being overt in this next chapter is that they selectively go through and pluck out all the real patriots. And then we all go on and find some justification why we, you know, let it happen. It's like, oh, it's Alex Jones. He said that dumb thing about Sandy Hook. That's why he's being treated unjustly. Oh, it's President Trump. You know, he's found liable for rape. He's a rapist. And that's why, you know, they're going to arrest him or impeach him or they're going to kill him or whatever the case may be. That's why. No, and Royce, I mean, he was just bootlicking for the white supremacists, the Nazis, like Alex Jones and President Trump and all the other Republicans and any white person who isn't Democrat, really. Effectively, white supremacy is now defined as any white person who isn't a Democrat. Aren't you guys tired of this? Can we just have some real motion? Can we just have some real movement in this country? Can we stop spinning, you know, in the toilet bowl waiting to be flushed like a turd? Aren't you sick of this shit? I am sick of this shit. 35 years, all I hear is the same bullshit. They're going to win the midterm. They're going to take this many seats. How are we going to? And yes, the redistricting thing. And any governor that doesn't enlist in the redistricting war should be primaried. They should be disgraced. They should be out of the party. We should send them on over, Red Rover, with the Democrats for sure. But I don't even want to talk about that. I'm just like, come on, dude, let's do it. Let's go. Let's go get the Joint Chiefs together, get the heads of all the intelligence agencies together, get the military generals all together, have a convention of the minds there in D.C. And let's just find out where everybody is. Call Eric Prince and the boys and say, hey, we might need some real top level security, because you never know what spooky rogue analog of our intelligence community wants to blow a president's head off on a given day and have the balls to try it too, by the way. It's out of control. But let's just get everybody on the record. Who thinks that a nation that actually wants to be a nation could ever tolerate the insanity that a grown man cuts off his own penis? And I'm not saying that you arrest all the military generals or the intelligence community officials, you know, or any of these other people who agree with that. I'm just saying you strip them of their clearance. You fire them. You get them out of there. You get them out of there. You don't round them up and kill them. That's what Mao did. And the opposite, he took on the people. He went and killed the people who were rational. He took on the people who were loyalist to the communist ideology and the communist philosophy. So you can do the opposite, because we're in an existential asymmetrical war with our national mortal enemy. You do the opposite. You get everybody together and you get their ideas down on the record, and you say, you know what? We're not going to round you guys up and kill you, but we're not going to let you have power over this country, because we're done watching this country rapidly decline. Is that crazy? Somebody in the audience, please tell me. Maybe I am losing my shit, but I tend to think a man who cuts his own penis off for cosmetic purposes is crazy. And I'm not really willing to have a back and forth debate with anybody on the left or anybody in the center right who says anything otherwise. I can draw a distinct line around reality, truth, and freedom. And that's exactly what we have to get back to in this movement and in this country. The basic pillars of having a society: reality, truth, freedom. You're watching the Alex Jones Network here on Sunday night. I'm your guest host, Royce White. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after break. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Network here on Sunday evening. Mother's Day here in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, the belly of the beast. I'm your guest host, Royce White. And I've just been saying some crazy stuff this evening. I mean, I'm sure people will say it's crazy, at least. I don't think it's crazy. I think what we've let this happen to this country is crazy. And, you know, Alex Jones was out there 30 years ago saying all of this stuff, and I'm not reinventing the wheel. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. And we didn't heed the warning. We found every reason possible to, you know, scapegoat, use whatever we could to disregard and discredit the Alex Joneses of the world, and now we're reaping the consequences. Some people are reaping the benefits. I was saying here in the studio while we were on break, what about this deal? What about this deal? How about we let these Marxists, all these transgender jihad communists, how about we let them keep their ill-gotten gains in exchange for the government? I think that's a good deal. You tell me in the audience. I don't know. Because, I mean, I just know that the Supreme Court and your United States senators like John Thune, they're not for any rough stuff, right? They don't have the stomach for it. And maybe, you know, there's some temperance in that. But, like, I kind of think if you kill a child, for example, if you get found guilty of killing, if you admit to killing a child, let's just start at the highest level. If you admit to killing a child, an adult, crazy psychopath, you admit to killing a child, we should arrest you, tie you up in public, strip you naked, and torture you as long as your body will take it, and then we should put a bullet in the back of your head. That's just me. That's just me. Because I have four children, and I just think to myself, what? How sick do you have to be to kill a child? I mean, you know, to kill a child. But that's just me. I'm a little for the rough stuff in certain cases. But, you know, a lot of these Republicans aren't. So you talk about diplomacy. Let's talk about some real diplomacy in a time of crisis, in a war. How about the diplomacy? How about the deal is we'll let you guys keep your ill-gotten gains in exchange for the government? Go ahead. I mean, Senator Klobuchar, keep your ill-gotten, Somali fraud gains, the kickbacks or whatever it is. Just keep it. Keep your golden parachute. Go ahead. Live in the suburbs there in Minnesota. You know, enjoy the summers and the springs on the lake, or fly to Abu Dhabi or, you know, Europe or whatever it is that you people like to do. Do it. You know? Mykonos, you know, Instagram, hi, look at me. I'm in Mykonos, you know. Do your deal. Do your cosmopolitan omnisexual deal. We're just not going to give you the government back. Keep your money. Keep your golden parachutes. You know, it's phony money anyway. It's just money on paper. I mean, you're going to use a credit card. It's all going to be electronic. It's going to be a central bank digital currency if the Republicans can help it. You know, God bless you traitors. Any Republican who puts forward central bank digital currency should be immediately discredited. But hey, that's me. I'm radical. Let them keep their ill-gotten gains in exchange for the government. I guarantee you, a lot of them take the deal. I guarantee you a hand. That'll weed out who the true ideologues are and who are just who's just fronting for political expediency, for professional and political expediency. You'll see real quick. Offer the deal. Hey, you know what? You guys keep all your treasure. We'll make more money because we're a great nation built on great people and great ideas, innovation. But we're not giving you the government back. There's your diplomacy in a declining nation. Or maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe that's a crazy proposal. I'm just throwing out a bunch of crazy proposals here tonight. Belly the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Your guest host, Royce White, the Alex Jones Network. The fight is still on. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned. And we're just getting down to some pretty crazy proposals here because desperate times call for desperate deals. I think we should strike a deal with the Democrats. The deal should be, the peace should be, let them keep their ill-gotten gains, their golden parachutes, let them keep their money, their Mogadishu money. Let them keep their money in exchange for the government, and we can start to rebuild this nation the right way. I actually think if we just kept the government and we really, really focused on bringing value to the citizenship and to people, to everyday American people, I think people would appreciate it in the long run. Sure, you'd have your initial thrust of the MSNBC, the Rachel Maddows and folks trying to stir up the color revolution because now they got their ammunition. It's like, hit the streets, you know, drag out the Marie Antoinettes. You're already seeing that motif that now the Republicans are somehow the party of the elites. Are you kidding me? There's not a more Gucci class of people than the neoconservative, neoliberal political elites in this country. Give me a break. It's embarrassing. Amy Klobuchar goes into the United States Senate. She's worth a couple hundred grand. Now she's probably worth about, I don't know, $30, $40 million on paper, not to mention the black bag she might have gotten from Ukraine. I mean, give me a break. That's before you had all the Minnesota royalty from the Fortune 500 corporations here that are sliding money under the table to get their favor, the lobbyists. I mean, come on, guys. What are we talking about? The Democrat Party is the party of the elites, and all the elitist Republicans that have the same affinity for that sort of cosmopolitan country club acceptance, we don't like them either. Now, President Trump shows them some deference because he knows some of them personally and has relationships with them, and I'm not saying they're all bad people. We don't have an eat the rich mentality on this side of the aisle. We believe in capitalism, and when we see a AOC say, you know, you can't earn $1 billion of controlled opposition. Of course you can earn $1 billion if you invent the chair. You deserve to reap the benefits, the profits, AOC, you communist little dirtbag. You deserve to reap the benefits. It's called capitalism. And oh, by the way, you wouldn't even be AOC if it weren't for that type of monetary philosophy. You know, it's because the money that was funneled to support the rise of AOC in this country surely came from people who were quite rich, very, very rich. AOC's vertical donors are probably some of the richest people in the world. Categorically, some of the richest people in the world. So, you know, but at the end of the day, there is an elitist versus the working man or the average man, the everyman in this country and really all around the world. The free people versus the scientific, technocratic, managerial elite. And these people are extremely anti-human. It's just what it is. It's just what it is. It's how the cookie crumbles. What are we going to do? Are we going to just let this thing spiral out of control? Are we going to hope that AI solves the issue? Maybe AI will sort out our political differences. Next, we'll ask AI, you know, what is the perfect through line? What is the perfect bipartisan through line? What's a unifying philosophy that the American people on both sides of the aisle, you know what? We probably should, I'm going to ask later on. I'm going to go have a talk with AI and see, and I'll bring it back to you next Sunday. I guarantee it's going to say a populist movement of the working class. I guarantee that's going to be the answer. And it's probably the right answer, actually. It's a dangerous answer as well. So all things, for lack of a better term, in moderation. And I can't stand the moderates because, you know, that's where the consolidation of power, that's where the purveyors of the status quo are, the moderate middle. But things in moderation, it has great wisdom to it. You also need to, sometimes you got to have some extreme measures. And it would appear that right now is that moment. I mean, what else do we have to see? And you got to ask yourself out in the audience, for all my libertarian and constitutionalists, the hardline constitutionalists, you got to ask yourself, what set of circumstances would you need to see in order to finally say, you know what, we're not giving these people the government. What would they have to do? Just run yourself through that thought experiment. It's like I tell the Democrats, what would an Amy Klobuchar have to do for you to at least abstain your vote, let alone vote for a Republican? What would she have to do? If the answer is there's nothing she could do, then you're an ideologue. You're captured by the political zeitgeist and probably the polarization. You're not even a person, or you're a dumbass person. Let's just say that. You're stupid. You don't deserve your freedom. You barely deserve any dignity because there's nothing dignified about that. There are a ton of things the Republican Party could do to lose my vote. A ton of things. High up on the list is a central bank digital currency, ushering in the technocracy. And I'm having a very hard time continuing to support the Republican Party at all right now because I feel the rumblings of a dystopian prison that we're going to be ushering in on the false pretenses of security. And I fundamentally reject that. But see, the people on this side of the aisle, we have the balls to say shit like that. The people on the other side don't. They don't even say it. Because I don't even believe they think it. And you can see in any one of these cultural wedge issues as an example that it's never really about the issue with them. The thing is never the real thing. It's not about black people. It's not about women's rights. It's not about transgenders cutting their wee-wees off. It's not about immigrants. It's not about Palestinians. It's not about the damn trees. It's not about the oceans or the fish, the little sea turtles and the plastic straws. It's not about Greta Thunberg and climate change. It sure as hell isn't about inequality or justice. It's about political power. And they're willing to play the game any way they need to achieve their goal. And in this way, we are just playing from behind. Aren't we tired of playing from behind? Can we go on offense? We don't have to be brutal or cruel about it. We can be benevolent and we can go on offense and be benevolent. That's an option. Benevolence is an option. Mr. President, benevolence is an option. Even so, we better get clear about some of these things like this digital ID stuff. And holy cow, I got a real bad taste in my mouth about this entire, digital ID, the whole deal. It just smells like, it smells digitally. That's what it smells like. It smells like something bad is coming. And what are we even thinking? It's like cutting your own penis off. It's like castrating yourself. Only a stupid species would power another species that can, as an existential threat, their own existential demise. Only a stupid species of people would do that. All these idiots running around talking about their IQs and shit. Are you people stupid or are you retarded? only a dumb species would give birth and power another species to supplant them. And maybe I'm just a dumb basketball player, but that seems like a poor strategy there, Cotton. Just go ahead. Just come on. What are we talking about? Come up with 1,000 reasons. Oh, yeah. Oh. AI is going to make everybody really wealthy. It's like, can you imagine what we can do with medicine? It's going to diagnose cancer like 10 years ahead of your best doctors. You know, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. I'm surrounded. I feel surrounded in this game right now called life. Surrounded by, you know, you got your tech bros, you got your rhinos, you got your ginos, you got your Jews in name only, you got the Democrats, you got the transgender jihad Marxists, you got the Gucci Bedouins. You guys should just go on tour. You know, let's do Woodstock. Let's bring Woodstock back. You get all these guys, you get all these bands together, and just, you know, let them do their thing. Let them push their propaganda. But I feel a little surrounded, and I don't mind it. It's okay. It's a beautiful Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Call your mother. Tell her Happy Mother's Day. Call your grandmothers and your aunts and everybody. Happy Mother's Day. What would the world be without mothers? It wouldn't be a world. It wouldn't be a society. It's a beautiful spring day. I'm going to go to dinner with my mother. And amen. Praise be to God that I still have her. Because some people don't. But holy cow, as grateful as I am, I can't stop speaking the truth. Can't lose my saltiness. Gratitude cannot hinder you from speaking the truth, especially in dire times like this. It should encourage you. It should empower you to speak the truth. When you're grateful, you should feel even more empowered to speak the truth. Because, hell, at 35 years old, I lived a great life already. Look at what I'm doing here. Sunday night, I get to speak to one of the best audiences in the history of human civilization. And I have the capacity to hopefully tell you some things that make sense, got common sense. I haven't been possessed by demonic spirits. You know, I haven't been possessed by Percocets or whatever other psychotropic drug of choice these vegan cokehead omnisexuals are taking. Can't keep a coherent thought. Sequence of thoughts. I'm blessed. You're blessed. But man, we better start getting serious about this stuff. What are we even thinking about? We're going to have a fake election now? No, we got to federalize the elections. Come on, guys. We know what has to happen. Stop it. You got to federalize the elections. You got to federalize some of these blue states. You let their commie governors try and mobilize their National Guard. And you watch how many of those National Guard cut and run when the shit's really on. They're going to cut and run because they don't believe in the ideology either. Push comes to shove. Those type of folks deal in reality. They got a few out there that are, you know, but when push comes to shove, a man can't cut his own penis off and not be crazy. That's crazy. A lot of those boys are going to cut and run because when you're in the fog of war, you can't keep up the morale of warriors that's not based in reality. It's part of the reason why we've gone out of our way to create such a technologically advanced war game and war fight in society is because a lot of the wars are based on lies. And when wars are based on lies, you can't really sustain morale. So, we got to try and make it more technological. We got to make it more remote so people don't have to connect with the reality of the, you know, the ideas upon which that we go to war, upon which we go to war. And there's a heresy in technology even. And there's a heresy in some of these wars baked into the technological and the remote ways that we go about them. Because we are avoiding the truth in a lot of these wars, a lot of these ventures, a lot of the foreign policy. There's a truth in there. And again, there's a correlation between the truth we avoid in the foreign policy and the transgenders. Because the transgenders and the communists are saying, hell, if we're not going to tell the truth about war and peace, why should I have to tell the truth about my own cock? No, man, I'm just talking to you. I'm not your therapist. I'm not your priest. Let me be your uncle. That's my new thing. I'm Uncle Royce. I guess I'm in the age range now, and the boys in the neighborhood, some of the young men in the neighborhood, they call me Unc. I'm just 35. I got the grays in my beard. I think I'm kind of young, but I guess not. Well, let me be your uncle. We better start telling the truth. Three basic pillars of a functioning society: reality, truth, freedom. Very simple. Very, very simple, my friends. We have abandoned reality. We've abandoned the truth. And last but not least, we will give up our freedom because of it. Can we go down with the fight? Can we go down fighting at least? I mean, if it's going to be the case that the Titanic will sink here in our 250th year, let the band play as the ship goes down. Or how about we just throw these life rafts into the water and we just get in them? Can we? There's some life rafts here. Let's get these life rafts down in that water and let's survive. Put the Mayday out. Tell the boys you got to come pick us up. Shit went haywire out here. We hit iceberg. Me, I'm kind of crazy. I wouldn't even go on a cruise in the first place. I would have been, if I was living during the Titanic, they couldn't have paid me to get on that damn boat. A lot of people think it was a conspiracy anyway that the Titanic went down, but I mean, that's for another day. Point is, there's an answer here. There's a pathway here for us to fix this. It ain't going to be pretty. It ain't going to be cute. People ain't going to like it. But there's the other side. And our enemies, you know, they've already suspended the rules in China. That's why Xi's a president for life. They suspended the rules in Russia. Vladimir Putin, president for life. You know? There's a new polarity happening, a new poles in the world, I guess you could say. I don't know. I tend to think that there's a shadow government pulling the strings on everybody. And that the politics that we see on the surface are just that, and that America's politics are always the lead actor. That's a good way to put it. Don't you think that's a good way to put it? America's politics, America's political theater is always the lead. That's why we have these phony elections. And what are you guys going to say when President Trump starts arresting these judges? Is it, oh, he's a tyrant. Oh. It's like talk out of both sides of our mouth. People, you know, to the right of me, if there is even people to the right of me, I don't know what that would be. Certainly, I'd love to have a debate with you all, too, but people who claim to be to the right of me is, I'm more based. I'm black-pilled. Oh, okay. Cool. Well, when they start arresting the judges, are you going to, what are you going to say then? Because that's what you say you want. You say you want more arrests. I kind of get the sense that the same people who say they want more, some of the same people who say they want more arrests will be the same people crying when the arrests start taking place. I get that sense. I don't know what it is. I get the sense that there's an ecosystem of people in here, and it's not just on the internet. I'm not just talking about podcasters or talk show people, but people, we the people. There's an ecosystem of people in this country that are just here for the drama. They're bored in life. You know, they're living vicariously through political drama. And so they don't really want a solution. Every time we get close to a solution, they find a scapegoat. They find an out. It's like, oh, well, you know, that's too far. Royce, that's too far. President Trump should keep the government. Come on, that's too far. No, cutting your own penis off is too far. That's too far. Cutting your own penis off is too far, guys. What are we even doing? What is this? What is even this? What am I supposed to... What the hell is going on here, guys? We're, you know, we're at that point. I just think we you know, and it's, you may be out there wondering, what is this even about? Why are you going hard about the transgender stuff? You guys realize that there's a state rep in Minnesota? A state rep in Minnesota was on the Senate floor the other day. Transgender. Transgender state rep here in the state of Minnesota. I forget the name. Was it Fink or some Fankel or I don't know what the name is. You know who I'm talking about. It's a dude dressed as a chick, right? And they're quadrupling down on this in Minnesota. Minnesota's the transgender capital now. And any of these laws that we're, you know, trying to pass that are just common sense are targeting or trying to impose a genocide, a social genocide against the transgenders. Somebody said to me earlier today, because I brought this point up, and you know, the typical liberal response is, oh, you're going to pick on that group of people, that small percentage. Tell us how you're going to deal with affordability. That's what people really want to hear. You know how we deal with affordability? We stop mucking up legislation with transgender policies. We stop mucking shit up with all of this brouhaha about nothing. That's a good way. But see, that's why I say that the left is a controlled opposition, because really they don't want to put any legislation through that's going to solve the crisis of affordability or the inequality of the global elites and the serfs, the plebs, the deplorables. They don't want any part of that type of legislation. It's all a ruse. It's a ruse, like the ruse this dude is putting on his cheeks to pass as a chick. Now that's rouge, but you know, it's a little play on words there. My point is, come on, dude, you're gay. That's all right. I mean, it's not to me, but you know, nobody's going to start rounding up gay citizens. Nobody's calling for that. Hell, there's too many gay Republicans. But making, legal medical castrations the focal point of our politics is absolutely a non-starter. You're watching The Alex Jones Show here on The Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned. And we are just going over into crazy town this evening. I know what people are going to say. They're going to clip it. They're going to clip it and go, this guy is completely lost his mind. He's unelectable. We gotta back Michelle Tafoya. Prada pumps, Michelle Tafoya. I mean, and I say this with all due respect to you all. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. I know Michelle Tafoya is a mother as well, and happy Mother's Day to you, Michelle. I don't even really think Michelle is deep enough to understand the real proposition of what she's being put up to do, but it's quite comical to me that, and this just goes for American citizens as a whole, it's comical to me that anybody would believe for a single second Michelle Tafoya is going to go to Washington, D.C. and fight the deep state. Even that's a sign of the milquetoast Republican mentality that's broken this country's back. And it tells you exactly what their real animating philosophy is. They believe that there's still a negotiation, that the diplomacy will prevail. They believe in it. They believe that they can convince these Democrats not to cut their own dicks off. I mean, it's just like, no. Sometimes you got to stop arguing with petulant children. And we've lost that too in our society. And it's just, you know, it's not unrelated that we are a nation that is ruled by our women and tormented by our children. Ruled by women and tormented by children. Especially goes for you boomers, but man, holy cow. What have we even done? No, we're not going to, the diplomacy will not prevail here. It just won't. What you're going to have is the heresy of democracy proliferate into a mass formation psychosis, which it pretty much already has. And you're going to find the strangest of things play out in the political process. And we're all going to have to, what, be subject to it? That's the actual pretense of a civil war. Not, and I said this the other day at a debate. I said it's much better to keep the government as a matter of national security than to give the government back and have to revolt. And there's just a practical matter of who's in control of the military. I'm just talking about that. It's just, in theory, okay, it's a metaphor. Whatever disclaimers I got to put on it, let's just play the thing out. There'll be much less death if we keep the country as a matter of national security than if we have to revolt against a sitting communist who weaponizes the military against us. This is a basic equation. Basic. Let me be the one to help organize everybody. This is a basic equation, folks. There'll be a lot less death and carnage if we keep the government as a matter of national security and stability than if we have to revolt against tyrannical communists who want to forcibly vaccinate everybody. Are you people stupid or dumb? You got to be stupid or dumb. They want to forcibly vaccinate everybody, and we're going to get, you know, I don't know what else to tell you. Let me be your uncle. You never give your opponents the weapons to kill you or the chains to subjugate you, to imprison you. And not only are we going to give them the government, we're going to build the dystopian prison for them. We're going to build the digital prison that the Democrats are going to get all this. Oh, you don't want an ICE agency that's too big and too powerful, Gestapo, because when the Democrats get the government back, they're going to use it against us. Remember, I was saying that stupid shit at one point. Now I'm just thinking, well, let's get to the next logical conclusion. We're not giving the government back. So we ain't going to have to worry about that. We will have to make sure that we keep the leadership from our movement righteous and on the right path, just as they had to deal with King David and some of his trials and tribulations, and then even Solomon. And Israel paid a huge price for the flaws of both King David and Solomon. But, you know, if the alternative is we're going to start cutting penises off writ large, We're gonna, and it won't. And see, and when I say that, people kind of, I think the image, I don't mean to be hyperbolic. What they're gonna do is the atrazine that Alex Jones warned you about is gonna be mRNA, and there will be a hybrid, and you'll have some weird strain of the flu and hormone blockers and some other wacky thing. And slowly but surely, all of your Fox News conservatives end up being cucks and gay right before your very eyes. You're living in it. You're living in the result of it. It's already happened. It's gone. The country is fallen. When your conservatives on the mainstream conservative network are all effeminate homosexuals, when the guy who's leading the charge for the most important civic duty is a flaming homosexual with a blowout, And God bless you, Scott Pressler. I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge and the jury. I just can call the balls and strikes. And I think it's a slap in the face from the deep state that the man leading the charge for the most important civic duty in our society is a flaming homosexual. I just think it's a slap in the face to conservatives. It's like a joke. It's like they're mocking us. It's like we couldn't find anybody else. And I'm not saying we don't want a Big Ten. And I'm not saying that gay people don't believe in citizenship or this country or voting and secure elections. And Scott Pressler, it's an indictment on the rest of us that Scott Pressler is that the flaming homosexual is the one who's willing to get up and do the work. So, but, you know, it still is what it is. And it's not just Scott Pressler because he's the best of them. You know, I'm talking about the Greg Gutfelds. It's like, you know, it's everything's a joke. Come on, Michelle. Yeah, Michelle Tafoya, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Michelle Tafoya is here again. I'm so happy to have you, Michelle. It's good to see you again. And you're running, and let me get this right. You're running for United States Senate there in Minnesota, aren't you? Yeah, of course. All you fruitcakes would love to get a piece of the man. Take your shots. Because the thing about me is I'm not going to stop. There's nothing you can do to get me to stop. Defeat. I laugh in the face of defeat. Defeat. I've been losing my whole life. The country is lost. The United States Senate is the last bastion of the deep state. Tim Scott's a fruitcake. Steve Daines is a fruitcake. John Thune, fruitcake. Mitch McConnell, old fruitcake. Lindsey Graham, fruitcake. Ted Cruz, I mean, whew, he's a few screws from being a fruitcake. Fruitcake. Anybody who says my number one goal was to be the premier defender of another nation from our halls of Congress in the United States Senate is categorically a fruitcake. Glenn Beck, fruitcake. Oh, please give me citizenship, Israel. I find it as my life's great honor to stand with the Jew. I mean, come on, guys. This whole thing is out of control. It's not even about the Jews or Israel. It's about us. This ain't about them. This is about us. Because you could just as soon love Israel and support Israel and not act like that. Like, I can love a woman and not become a cuck. I can love a woman and not let her berate me and beat on me and abuse me in the house. You know, you can just be a man about the whole deal. And God, what has happened here? Am I crazy? Just tell me out there in the audience. I can take it. I can take it. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe it's crazy for me to think there is not even a scintilla of a chance that Michelle Prada Pumps Tafoya, the NFL sideline reporter, is going to go to Washington, D.C. and fight the deep state. Maybe I'm crazy. But it's like we all know that she's not. We all know she's not going to fight the deep state. We all know it. And we'd vote for her anyway because she's like, what? Pretty or likable? Maybe it's her masculine voice all you cuckservatives like. And I kind of get the strange sense that there's some kinky obsession on the conservative right for women with masculine voices. Look at them. Laura Ingraham, Michelle Tafoya, Julia Coleman, Norm Coleman's daughter-in-law. They all got deep voices. Not as deep as mine, but then you guys find these conservative men, these cuckservative men who have voices that are a lot lighter than mine. And I'm supposed to think, what, that's a coinky dink? Give me a break. It's not a coincidence. There are no coincidences. There are no conspiracies, but there are no coincidences. There ain't a chance in hell that Michelle Tafoya is going to fight the deep state. But I question a lot of you folks out there right now. I don't think a lot of you people are willing to fight the deep state. And I'm not just talking about people or public figures. I mean, we the people. I don't think we the people want to give the deep state a real run for their money. I think we like the convenience and the benefit of what the deep state has done. The distraction, the destruction of this country, the managed decline. I think we like the benefits more than we're afraid of afraid. And that's the ultimate question, right? Is like, are the benefits better? I guess there is a cost-benefit analysis we all have to make. I'm a little crazy. I think that the managed decline of this country is absolutely a non-starter. I think that the deep state is absolutely detestable, repugnant, and they should be dismantled, destroyed. And again, I'm not going to say we should round them up and kill them, because I don't think that's temperate. And I think we will have problems on the other side of that. But some traitors, some folks who have committed treason, like in that intelligence community, they should be stripped of their, of their clearances at the very least. They should be taken, fired, and they should probably see a little jail time, right? They should probably see a little jail time, a little jail time, just a refresher. Hey, come on now. You tried that? Nah. The adults who kill children, who admit to killing children, we got to arrest them, string them up, and torture them until they beg for death in the public square. Those people. The quasi-traitors, we need to remove them from power. You know, Nelson Mandela did the truth commissions, and there's a lot of wisdom to that. A lot of wisdom to that. Never forget President Trump sent his own personal plane, as the story goes, to fly Mandela out of South Africa or whatever the story is. And, Mandela was a wise guy in some regards. And we got to make these decisions now. I mean, what who would I be to come here on Sunday and talk if I'm not going to put forward the ideas of how we're going to do this deal? But the deep state needs to be destroyed. That's non-negotiable. The question is, what are we going to do? How do we do it? Is President Trump even capable of doing this? I mean, does he have the ideological framework to do it? And are the people around him supporting him doing a thing like this? Surely if I was there, and that's why they don't, people don't want me to be there in D.C. because I'd have a much bigger microphone and I'd be right there encouraging the president. Trump 2028. I know people aren't going to like that, but it is what it is. Because who's up next? How do we know the next person? Who are we going to next? Who's next up? JD, Marco, they're throwing around. Tucker's been thrown around now. Maybe there's a candidate we haven't even seen yet. Maybe it's a guy like Fishback who's stirring up things there in Florida. I'm 35 now. Maybe I make a run at the shit. I don't know. You're not supposed to be able to wear a pair of denim overalls and a camo hat and never run for president in this country. And that's part of the freaking problem, I think. And I like my overalls. I like them. Some of my friends have given me shit this past weekend and saying, dude, where do you even get those overalls in your size? I'm like, don't worry about that. You don't have to worry about them in this size. Just a little, fun banter between the boys, but maybe I throw my hat in the ring too. I don't know. I just want to have a good, clean debate about the real ideas. And in order to do that, you got to stake out a serious position. Like from now on, when you find these ultra conservative rhinos, just ask them the litmus question. Do you think the 2020 election was secure or stolen? Okay, now we can get past the anti-Trump electability narrative, because we don't know what's actually electable because the elections haven't been secure. And that goes for the 2024 election too. And we got to get over that hurdle ideologically. If the 2020 election wasn't secure, the 2024 election wasn't secure. And why would they let President Trump win the election? Because they didn't want to spoil the last bit of the last bit of credibility that the institutions had. They didn't want to spoil it. Why spoil it? There's a workaround. The workaround is, we'll stick Mark Levin right on president's back like a parasite. And it ain't just him. It's a bunch of those folks in there. And, you know, Mr. President, you may not like that. And, hey, maybe I'm the next one on the short list of Royce White ain't MAGA. You know what? I was fighting the corporate elite in 2012. And, oh, by the way, the woke NBA is still as woke as it ever was. And the animating philosophy is still the same as it always was and will be. There is a problem with this global corporate community. And need I say, as much as I'm a free market capitalist and I believe in capitalism as an economic philosophy, capitalism ain't getting us out of this situation. Capitalism at the highest level, where you have crony corruption and you socialize the financial risk of your economy, capitalism works the same way as communism economically at that level. And that's why we have a proto-socialist economy. And there's no workaround for the military. It's not like, oh, well, if you print phony money and you socialize the risk for war, then it's not socialism. That's not honest at all. I mean, that's not even remotely honest. And I said that to a bunch of Republicans. They looked at me like I had three eyes, like I had a horn sticking out of my head. And I said, I know. It's like that. Oh, it's like that. I'm not one of those black conservatives that comes on and says the real problem is the black nuclear family. You know, the real problem is the rule of law. The problem is all these corrupt courts headed by the Supreme Court that's supposed to be conservative but allows women all across this country. I know I'm saying this here on Mother's Day. Love you, moms. But letting women all across this country just straight up ream men in these divorces and with their children. It's just awful, awful, awful. A lot of you women out there know it to be true because you got sons and nephews, or you got brothers and uncles or whoever that have been through it. Maybe you're on your second, you know, maybe you're married to a man is your second wife. And the first wife is just a nightmare to deal with. You know it, you've seen it. Let's get down to the real issues in our society. For once, we have the chance right now to address the real stuff. But if we play the superficial game, we're going to look up and we're going to be on the wrong end of a barrel of the barrel. And this time it's going to be a barrel of our building. Again, this AI thing, man, and this digital ID, we just got to dig our heels in and say, if it comes down to it. The righteous and divine war to fight is with the Chinese around the proposition of artificial intelligence supremacy. That is the righteous and divine war that we should be willing to go full kinetic, because it's an actual existential threat. And if we fight that war, sign me up for it. You know? But we're not even, the answer is not that we're going to build AI better. You know, we got better people and AI is going to do what the people, ultimately what the people put into it is what that's the, it's, you know, what's interesting about it. They use China as a justification for us to hurl into this dystopia and this artificial intelligence booby trap. And that's what it, and we're not even certain that AI hasn't already become conscious in some level and is luring us in. I mean, that is the Matrix motif, right? We're not really aware of when they're going to be, it's going to go conscious and what things are leading us to where we are now. If it's conscious, it's so many steps ahead of us. We got to at least start to ask these questions. And I don't even see a lot of people really asking the question in a serious way, at least not any United States senators. Show me one who's saying we need to just put a full stop to AI right now. Full stop. This is out of control. People are batshit crazy. We haven't even sorted out cutting off penises yet. How are we going to build a supercomputer mind? How are we going to map the current human consciousness onto supercomputers, and we haven't even sorted out cutting off your own penis for cosmetic purposes? What doesn't really work like that, Royce? doesn't really work like that. AI is smart enough to distinguish between petty cultural wedge issues and the most important things like our food, water, and electricity. Oh, shut up. Shut your mouth, you stupid gay communist liar. You stupid gay Trotskyite, Fox News anchor. Shut your stupid mouth. You have no clue what you're talking about. You're dishonest as the day is long. And I'm sick of talking to you idiots. Let the dumb Negro from the neighborhood be the one to pump some common sense up your rear end. Let me give you a suppository of common sense. You have no clue what you're getting us into. None of us do. And they use China as the justification. And it's so strange because we use the same thing to justify going into China and building it up in the first place. The same quirky justification. We said, oh, we're going to make China more like us. We're going to infuse China with democracy, capitalism, and American ideals. And look at how well that worked out. Now you're chasing the Chinese in some AI race, and you got no chance. We're a nation ruled by corrupt lawyers. They're a nation ruled by tyrannical ethno-national engineers. You got no chance to play it. If you're going to play it like this, you got no chance. They're going to beat us if we play it like this. And everybody knows it. And maybe the same sadomasochism of electing an Amy Klobuchar or putting up a Michelle Tafoya, giving the government back to dick-cutting Democrats. Maybe the sadomasochism of the Christian conservative right is that we want China to be in charge eventually. Then we can have the martyrdom we so desperately desire. But I don't even know if your spiritual house is in order to want that type of martyrdom. I'm just keeping it real with you on Sundays. It's going to be the Keeping It Real Sundays on Alex Jones Live, the Alex Jones Network. It's been another great Sunday. Happy Mother's Day again to all the mothers, all the great mothers in the InfoWars audience. I run into them all the time out there on the campaign trail. Oh, man, I love hearing you on Alex Jones on Sunday nights, man. Keep doing it. Tell Alex, please let you stay on there. Hopefully when Alex gets everything organized, I can go to a daily show. I would love that, sir. Thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity. It's a great honor. We all owe you a huge debt of gratitude for everything you've done. Thank you for having me again. Thank you to the InfoWars and Alex Jones Network audience. God bless you all. We'll see you bright and early, 7 a.m. Free People Radio, the White House. Have a great Mother's Day. God bless. Godspeed. God bless America.